Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Park and I'm PK Park, and joining me today, Ian McNally, to talk about the latest release by Takashi Shimizu. He is the director of the Ju-on movies, and his latest budget horror flick is called Innocent Curse, or Kodomo Sukai in Japan. And it's the story about the suburban town, which is kind of shocked by a series of mysterious child disappearances and suspicious adult deaths. And then there's this rumor that begins to spread on the internet that any adult who witnesses a return child who hums this weird tune will die within 3 days. It's kind of like that idea of The Ring.
Yeah.
And a local reporter refuses to believe that children are killing adults and sets out to investigate.
Does he even refuse to believe it? He just kind of bumbles around.
He kind of bumbles around investigating what's going on, and then horror hijinks ensue. The story is a bit of a play on the Piper of Hamelin,
I was thinking that up until the point where a child has read the Pied Piper of Hamelin book and it's pointed at the camera very clearly.
It's an obvious play on the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this movie is trying to be.
I think it's trying to be a jumble sale of what made J-horror big in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yes.
Because like you mentioned already, it has that ticking time bomb of The Ring. It has a character,
which is a very cool conceit.
Yeah. And it has a character, considering we had Stephen King's It last week and how much money that's made at the US box office. It has a character that seems very much to be intended in that kind of vein of a Freddy or a Pennywise or something that could go on to do more things. The credits even have a very clear kind of setting up a sequel thing. But it doesn't quite gel. It didn't quite gel for me, and it doesn't quite work. And it doesn't even inspire the horror that those old horror movies, even The Ring or Ju-on, did back in the day.
Right, right. So this creature is the Kodomo, or Kodomo Sukai, who's this weird Johnny Depp-type dude who has a hat and a long coat.
And he's a weird cat motif going on. His boots are cats, his belts are cats, everything he takes out of his cape is cats.
So I'm not sure why. I don't know if in Japanese legend exists a character.
This is the whole movie. Is like, I don't know why he's going in there. I don't know why that dude's doing that.
I don't know why these two characters are hugging.
Yes.
It happens a lot. I mean, you know, it starts off well enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the opening sequence has all of the makings of what could be a really creepy movie. There's this mother who's lost it with her little kid, and she's being incredibly abusive, and she locks the kid out on the balcony, and there's this one moment where she goes, if you love your father so much, why don't you just jump?
Yeah, I said, go jump off a cliff, I think she says. And then it's silence outside.
And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is promising. Yeah. And then it kind of descends into incoherence very, very quickly.
Oh, well, I don't know. I thought that was a kind of a callback to something like Audition, where there's a scene where creepy thing, you know, the mother gets her child back and everything seems fine, but then creepy things start to happen. And the creepy thing that happens there was quite effective. You know, there's a lot of Twin Peaks style reverse photography, or The Ring reverse photography. And you don't really see the Tommy creature that clearly at that point. It kind of looks interesting. But later, when he's walking around in broad daylight, it looks like an Asian refugee from the Black Parade, or there's a weird sound effect they use that is very much David Bowie from Labyrinth.
No, you're right. It is the greatest hits of all of these characters that the director possibly grew up watching,
yeah.
right? You've got David Bowie from Labyrinth, you've got the Stephen King influences, and you've got the J-horror influences as well, which he helped set up to a certain extent. I mean, the director hasn't done necessarily well for himself post-Ju-On. He directed a live-action version of Kiki's Delivery Service. I haven't seen it, but I hear it's appalling.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard about it at all.
Yes, I think it died in cinemas.
And it is interesting that the Ju-On, the Grudge, that got the first attention was his third attempt at that story. He had done it twice for direct-to-DVD, then he did it twice in America, and I can remember seeing that movie in the cinema, and when Bill Pullman takes a head dive off a balcony at the very opening scene, the entire audience just lost it with laughter. Like, it was very weirdly, oddly misjudged. But that character was scary. The Kayako and Toishi, wasn't it? Was that the mother and the son? That creepy hair thing, and I mean, it was very much coming off The Ring, but also the croakiness of the voice thing.
Yes.
I would do that all the time to my girlfriend at the time. She would never sleep for days if she saw that. If she heard that noise.
Children in general are scary.
Yeah, yeah, but the mother thing that... that noise was just like, it's something, you know, you do as kids and then you realize like, oh, if you do it for long enough and it's coming from something that's on the ceiling that you can't see, that's terrifying.
It's interesting though, because by the time you get to the third act of this movie, all of the scariness that was in the first and second acts, and there are some bits that are quite creepy and will scare you in the cinema. Mm. But when you reach the third act, and there's a lot of the third act that happens in daylight, I think it really undermines the direction of this film.
Yeah.
Especially seeing the Kodomo character in daylight and seeing his...
ludicrousness.
And just
his boots are cats.
I know. His boots are cats. And just
every time he takes something out of his cloak, and you hear this meow noise, and it's just
it's bizarre. It descends into comedy, and that's why I'm not sure what this movie is. Because on the one hand, it's trying to be budget horror, but then on the other hand, it's developing this strange anime type mythology. Mm. It's the kind of thing you would see in an anime.
But I don't know. You get away with it more in an anime. I mean, while the creature looks ludicrous, the character's actions start to get ludicrous as well. You know, there's a point where a jack-in-the-box style thing on wheels or a hand crank organ rolls up to a corner and then turns around the corner. Instantly you're thinking, I want no part to do with anything of this whatsoever.
Nothing.
I need to get out of here as quickly as possible. What does the guy do? He walks up to it and starts cranking the handle. Like, when you get to that point, you're like, I've lost the empathy with these characters.
So here's the question though. Are we done with this sort of J horror? Because I haven't seen a good one or an original one in a very long time. They all seem somewhat derivative of the classics, the Ju-Ons, the Rings, etc.
What was the one with the cell phone? It wasn't Cell, but there was one about the phone call coming from inside the wall as well. It was pretty good. The Eye, Dark Water, all of
correct,
those. Yeah.
Correct. And I haven't seen anything particularly scary. I mean, to be fair, I'm not exposed to as much Japanese horror because not a lot of it opens here and it's not as accessible. But I don't know. If this is a benchmark, it feels like the production and stylings haven't come very far in about a decade.
Well, it was probably the Star Wars effect happened, where those ones were so astronomically successful.
Yeah.
Everybody tried to make them. And I have seen, yes, I think I've seen all the Ring movies. No, of all the Ringu movies, all the Japanese ones, I have the American ones, I haven't bought.
Oh, rubbish.
But the original Japanese ones, I watched all of those in too short a time and scared me for life. Love it. But after that, everyone did it so much that it was like the tropes are well known now. I mean, the Scary Movie franchise also killed off any terror that long-haired Asian girls had with their hair over their face. I mean, when you have the Wayans brothers laughing at Sadako and hitting it with a shovel, I think it was, in one of the Scary Movie movies, you're like, it's done. It's like when Freddy stopped being scary.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. And I talk about this a lot now. I think it's a matter of seeing a lot of movies. You get to the point where it's like, this is not doing anything new. Why would I watch it? And I think we talked about this recently with American Made a little bit. It was kind of a niggling for me. And for this, it was like that as well. It's like, you haven't come up with any new way of scaring me. The story is not that original. It's like you're doing a kind of a Japanese version of a Nightmare on Elm Street in a way. And it's like, you've got some creepy kids, but that's all you've really got.
You've got some creepy kids. You have a somewhat interesting concept in that Pied Piper adaptation.
Mm.
But you don't push it as far as you should.
No, and the design of the creature is a bit like...
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It's a poor man's Johnny Depp.
I think it's all of Johnny Depp's costumes in one. Jack Sparrow. It's from The Lone Ranger.
Now with added cats.
Yes.
Now with added cats. Innocent Curse is actually in cinemas right now. I mean, it's horror movie season, folks.
Yeah.
August comes along every year and they just start rolling out horror flick after horror flick. I mean, if you're a fan of horror flicks, you're going to go watch this anyway because you want to get scared on a Saturday night. But I can't highly recommend this because I'm actually not sure what it's about.
It's about 1 hour, 50 minutes long.
That's pretty much it. Let us know what you think if you've seen Innocent Curse. I'm on Twitter at Uma Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.